If you or a loved one are suffering from extreme withdrawal, increased irritability, or explosive diarrhea due to the lack of survivor content in your life, welcome to the fucking show.
What's going on, everybody? Reality Gurus Podcast. This is the episode 7 recap of Survivor 46. This is the both final 12 and final 11. We got the double boots. And Dave, I think we might have just had our best episode of Survivor 46.
Oh, yeah. I would agree 100%. This is the first episode this season where I didn't leave it thinking, wow, this season sucks. I can't wait till next season.
Yeah, I think that I would agree. I felt like this was the first time that the gameplay was both exciting and good, mm-hmm. I would say. I think a lot of times we've had some interesting vote outs that doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of thought going into it. We've also just had some really boring vote outs, mm-hmm. with how bad a couple of the early people were. But yeah, I really love this episode. We can just say right off the bat, a take that we always have, it's stupid that they split them up anyway. Kind of bullshit to get voted out in this way, in my opinion. But for what it was and what it's always going to be at either the final 12 or final 10 in the new era, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to kind of bring that up as well and say, like, I was surprised that we never liked this episode because we're always complaining that it's stupid that they do this. This season, I don't know. I feel like it. I'm not for it as far as like being as far as the game goes. I don't think it. We never like when they take agency out of players' hands to kind of work in space, you know. And I feel like that's what this kind of does. It kind of limits players to what they can do. I guess it kind of opens it up if you're on the bottom a little bit. Maybe you could argue, but I feel like this specific season, it did something for the strategy that was good. Like, I'm kind of glad they did this because I don't know if that's because we just got a good episode or it did help genuinely, but kind of happy coming out of it.
Yeah, I feel like we almost have to fast forward a little bit on this, where I think if it was just Soda's boot or just Tim's boot, I mean, they were power dynamic upsetters a little bit. I feel like they're both votes that on paper you might not have expected, but from the vibe of the show, they both felt like they were coming sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it was a good kind of jump start into this. Like, Mariah was a big consensus-y boot. And now we kind of like this kind of shocked the system a little bit. And now we're like, okay, we're back into Blindside's actual Survivor. We're about to have a final 10, and I'm actually excited for shit now.
Yes. Yeah, and like you said, I think neither of these boots were what people expected. We kind of thought this was coming, though. You could kind of see that it was coming down the line. And I think we got rid of two people who I think it's going to benefit the season moving forward overall. I think it loosens up some of the other players to kind of do more maneuvering and not kind of be as solely focused on getting one person out or be as solely focused as they were. I don't think either that Tim or Soda were particularly interesting. Like, when it comes down to playing the game of Survivor, like, Soda was pretty good TV, I thought. Tim was kind of just meh across the board. But as far as, like, actually playing the game, neither of them were that, like, dynamic of a player. So I would much rather have both of them go than have Venus go, for instance, because at least she's, like, shaking things up, you know?
Yeah, I would agree with a lot of that. I think that Soda, this really opens up Tevin and Hunter, but especially Tevin. We've seen him more being targeting Soda than Hunter, but I feel like this really opens them up to go after some more people. Venus, this was one of her, probably her biggest adversary this whole game has been Soda. Mm-hmm. or frenemies, apparently. We'll get to that, I guess. But yeah, so I feel like the whole Orange Tribe, this kind of opens stuff up because Venus is, I saw somebody on Twitter say that she's just playing, they have her playing with the with the controller unplugged, mm-hmm. which is a perfect explanation. She's button mashing so hard.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing is happening because the controller is not plugged in. I agree. I think Tim going, this group of six was never going to work. It's kind of the first domino to fall. I think it makes Q more dynamic and also more unsafe, I would say. Mm-hmm. I think it opens stuff up for Kenzie and Tiffany. And I think between him going and also Soda going, it's like the ultimate jumpstart to Tevin and Hunter as characters because they're going to get to go in a completely new direction. It really feels like a TV show where, you know, in a series finale of a big battle between two players or two characters, and maybe one kills the other one, and you're kind of like, okay, what's going to happen with this guy moving forward? Right. That's kind of where I feel that those two are right now.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm interested to really see actually where Q goes from here, which may not be the first person like on your mind with these two.
Might not be very far.
Exactly, because I think it, like, inadvertently, people's focus are going to shift to him, and it's going to be interesting because we just pointed out how Tevin and Hunter is really going to open their games up, but neither one of them, they're both aligned with Q, so you wouldn't like initially think that the focus would shift to him. But I think, like we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, I think just it's that time of the season, like from final 10 down is when these big threats start getting looked at. Not that they can win six individual immunities in a row, probably, but that's what people start to pitch, you know, as they're like, if they have an ulterior motive to actually get those people out, they're like, mm-hmm. oh, they can win six in a row. And Q is interesting because I brought this up when I was watching the episode to Alyssa, and I said, Q is really interesting because he is a physical threat. He is very like railroady aggressive when it comes to it's like his way or the highway when it comes to his plans, right? And mm-hmm. he hasn't really been called out on that because most of the plans that he pitch work, you know, you know, mm-hmm. like, and yep. he's pitching sound strategy, and like everyone is going to be on your side and kind of just bitch about it in the background, kind of like Tiffany and Kenzie were doing, if your plans work, right? So like, so far, everything Q has said has been good strategy. It's been good logic. He's railroading you, but how much can you really argue with him when what he's saying makes sense for your game and it's working every time he says something? And that's a dangerous combination because as soon as he gets something wrong, everyone's on the other side. Like, he has no more allies. As soon as he gets one thing wrong, I would say we're at that point. And I see that. I agree. I see that coming sooner rather than later.
Yeah. I did want to talk about both tribal councils. So since we're talking about Q, let's kind of jump on to that side. He was split with himself, Tiffany, and Kenzie. So all three purples were together. And then there was two greens, Ben and Tim. And then they had Hunter, the lone orange person. Kenzie won immunity. And yeah, I thought that, you know, a lot of what you're talking about, this was a big discussion that we had with Kenzie versus Q on the original purple was like, mm-hmm. who would Tiffany actually side with?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we kind of got our answer. I mean, I don't know if it's the same as it would have been back then, but Tiffany basically says to Kenzie at one point, like when Q is being super bossy, she's like, yeah, we'll do this now, but eventually, like, basically, like, we can't do this anymore. As yeah. in, like, you and me, we're going to move on without Q at some point.
Yeah.
And I think that they are ready to play as a duo. Q, I do really like a lot. I think he really needs to do more in his head thinking and less out loud thinking.
Yeah.
because I feel like he was, I think he's like, yeah, he was a little frantic, but I think he was really just going over options in his head.
Yeah.
And the problem is he just needs to not be so open about it. Like, I think once you decide on Tim, it's fine if you're thinking about switching to Ben, but I wouldn't say that you want to switch to Ben until you actually know for sure that you want to switch to Ben. And now you're arguing to switch to Ben. Like, you don't need to argue that maybe it is Ben if there is a still a potential for you to want to also go back to Tim. Mm-hmm. I get that you change your mind and you're trying to discuss with your alliance members, but at the end of the day, there's a difference between having a discussion about potential options and what we saw the three of them doing, which kind of seemed like a, you know, not necessarily last minute, but late in the day, trying to nail down a final decision. And that's kind of when he was all over the place. And that is, I think, a problem.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I think Hugh, the way he communicates is being fundamentally misunderstood, especially by Kenzie and Tiffany.
We saw the alphabet game.
Huh?
Yeah, we saw exactly. With the alphabet game.
Exactly. Because, I mean, I just said it a few minutes ago. Like, the way he communicates is, the way it's being perceived is he's going to railroad you and it's his way or the highway and this is what we're doing. There's no second option. And that's how Kenzie and Tiffany are taking it. And I can empathize with this misunderstanding a little bit because I can see, I see myself a little bit in Q here where even Alyssa pointed this out to me as well when we were watching. And I think Q, the way he's not presenting this correctly. Anytime he has an idea, what he wants to say is, hey, I think this is a potential option for tonight. But the way he's actually communicating it is, all right, we're going to do this tonight, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And that's probably a product of his athletic background and being a coach as well, just being like, we're going to do this. But what he really means is, this is an option. Like, he doesn't actually mean we have to do this tonight. It's the only option. What he means is, this is my best idea right now. So, like, I think we should do this. And I think Kenzie
it's
and
just Tiffany, the wording of his speech.
Right. And he's very aggressive when he pitches it, too. Like, very matter of fact. And, I mean, you've known me for close to a decade now. It's probably 7 or 8 years.
Fuck, I did not realize that.
8 years, I guess.
Yeah, getting fucking old.
Yeah. I am guilty of doing this, for sure. Where, like, I just will, like, there will be a conversation going on, and I will just say, well, we're just going to do that. And I don't mean that's what we're going to do and that's what we have to do. What I mean is, this is my best, this is my opinion, and this is what I think the best option is. But by no means do I think we have to do that. Like, if someone comes up with a better opinion or a better answer, great, I'm not going to combat it. But, like, I'm very guilty of presenting my opinions in the form of facts. And I think Q is doing the same thing. Like, I saw like glints of myself in it. So that's not going to help him in Survivor, but I just found that interesting and saw a little bit of myself in it. So,
yeah, I think a lot of what you're saying is accurate. I think it's just, yeah, the way he talks and literally the word choice.
Yeah.
I think that is a big difference because I work in a place where there's a lot of people that are maybe like smarter than their title, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they all put thought into like what they're going to say. And so a lot of conversations you have are like, it's a lot of like cues talking to cues is like what I'm around.
This
like
is, this is the engineering. This is engineering.
Right. So I'm like, I'm kind of used to this. So I guess grew up around like a lot of athletes and stuff because I played sports and everything. Right. And like,
this is how
I'm just used to people talking like this, yeah, basically. And, but I also get like, I mean, I have a couple different people that I talk to, like during the episodes, like family and stuff, that a lot of them, not a lot, I'd say like half of them really don't like Q. And it's like, I think the person, the only person who likes Q more than you, I know, is my dad,
right,
who also is like, was always around athletes. He was a coach for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's also an engineer. Like, I think people
right.
are very, like, we're very logic driven. So like, when you come to the conclusion, you're like, oh, everyone else is going to come to this conclusion as well because I did logically. So I might as well present it as fact because that's the fact. That's the answer, you know? And you don't mean anything by it. That's just how you present it. And I'm in the similar boat as you working in construction. Like, people present, this is how people talk. Like, I think not to cut you off here, but like, that is, I agree with you 100%. Like, it's going to rub people the wrong way. And I can see why, like, even a majority of people may not like Q. And it's because they're not ever around this. If you weren't an athlete growing up, if you're not in, like, a you need to get the point across field, like, you never encounter people like this, really.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. The getting your point across. Because that's more of what it is not, like, as much of people wanting to talk like that. It's the people that they're talking to don't want to listen to anything other than just give me like the high level, quick and dirty, like what exactly is going on.
Right.
And I think that a lot of times being a coach, you get that because players don't want to listen to a bunch of bullshit, like in the middle of practice, like they're practicing. They don't want to like sit there and talk about something for like 10 minutes. Right. They want to just be like, okay, like,
what did
Let
I do?
Let me get
wrong?
Back to like the shit I'm doing. Like,
what did I do?
I'm here to play, not to talk about this, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with kind of all of that. And I think Q, I feel like he is maybe been like the most in control person in the entire game. And I don't mean like he has held the most agency, but just as far as what he wants to have happen. Always happens, and it always happens pretty efficiently. And I think a contributing factor to it is the fact that Kenzie and Tiffany are the way that they are, right? They are very efficient in their gameplay, where they basically, when Q, who's like this hyper aggressive person, comes to them with an idea that works for them, they're gonna let Q do all the work,
right?
And they're gonna sit there and just allow their positions to, you know, they're not sticking their necks out at all, but ultimately this is going to be a good thing for them. And I think that they're good at that. They've identified the Q is like that. They've been kind of living off it, not in a bad way, but like they've been taking advantage of it.
I mean, he just becomes a bigger and bigger meat shield for them because Kenzie and Tiffany will not be targeted before Q is targeted.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the longer you kind of, because they can be seen as a three all they want, but everyone's first reaction to saying we need to break up that three is Q's the obvious choice.
Right, because he's the quote-unquote leader. It's like Charlie's Confessional sums it up entirely, where it's like Q is, and we see this multiple times every season, I can't believe people still do it, where somebody kind of, it's not really talking down, but like you said, he's speaking very matter-of-factly at Charlie, mm-hmm. with a differing opinion, which kind of is an aggressive stance to take.
Right. Yeah.
And Charlie immediately in his confessional is like, sure, this isn't the biggest problem in the world for me right now, but I got to get rid of Q at some point. Like this dynamic is not how I want to be playing. I don't think that I could execute my strategy with someone else who is playing the game like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to get rid of him. And I mean, think that we always come to that. With a lot of people.
That also, like, you can look at him talking to Charlie about Charlie voicing that he voted for, who did he vote for?
He voted for Venus last episode.
For Venus. Yeah, exactly. You can take just that scene, and that expresses perfectly what we just talked about for the past 10 minutes, where Q went into that conversation wanting to be the coach, right? Wanting to say, hey, like, I noticed you were doing this a little wrong. Like, you might want to adjust your form a little bit, like, keep that elbow up, you know? Really, like, you know, get under those pads, whatever you want to say, you know, like he went into that, like wanting to be helpful and wanting to work with Charlie, I think. And Charlie came out of it saying like, I can't work with someone like that, when all Q's intentions were to be helpful, I think.
Like, yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say like, in essence, like all he went down there to say was, hey, like you can't be telling people who you voted for. Like you, like, you're basically like, that hurt your game. Like, it doesn't really have that much to do with me. Like, we wanted to work together. That could have put like, put the old orange tribe in like a more of a self conflict than they already were in. Like, this could benefit us both. But Charlie took that and said, I don't want to work with Q.
Right. Yeah. And I think part of it too is a belief in, you're trying to, as a coach, display a belief in what you're saying, right? Because I think if an athlete is doing one thing and you want them to do another, not only do you need to tell them the correct thing to do, but you need to convince them that it is the right thing to do.
Right. Because I'm sure they've been doing it their whole life that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why they do it. And ultimately, when if it's football, like if a ball is thrown in their direction, it's basketball, you know, when, you know, if they're passing the ball or getting the ball passed to them, like what they do in that moment is going to be what they truly believe in, right? Like if you're saying, if it's baseball, right? If a ball is hit like two steps to your right, you know, there's coaches that'll tell you it's good to backhand it. There's coaches that'll tell you to get around it. And whatever the player believes, like, is right, that's going to be their immediate instinct.
Right.
As soon as the ball is hit in their direction. And that's what they're going to follow. So like in practice, that's your moment to convince them that the next time that this happens, your quick initial reaction should be this, because your body's just going to follow that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of what he's doing too. Like I spent a little bit of time coaching when I was in high school, I would coach my brother's like travel teams and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this way a little bit too with players, not like in your face really, but kind of like, I was 18, but they were like 13 years old and they'd spent enough time playing this baseball. They'd spent like 6 or 7 years playing, right? And they've done a lot of things like a certain way. You're getting to the kind of age that it's like, okay, like certain fundamentals like are more important, like that you can't slack off on anymore. And it is like a little bit of a battle, especially like kids who have always been the best kids.
Right.
Where that's another hard part is like, if you're talking to somebody who thinks they're smart, trying to convince them that their smart brain, what their smart brain came up with is not right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a tough thing as well.
Yeah.
So I really empathize with Q,
yeah.
But I think his biggest issue is the fact that I don't think he realizes what he's doing. It's his Achilles heel is, I don't know that he has the self-awareness to realize that his audience is different than it is back home.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think he's my favorite player this season, not because I think he's the best player, just from like a pure character standpoint. And I think it is because I relate with him so much. And I just think he's one of the more like dynamic players. Like, I don't know. I just feel like he really like drives. He's in a driver's spot right now, and we're getting a lot of him. And I just, entertainment wise, and we can wrap up the Q talk here because he definitely got his flowers. But I've loved to watch him, and I can't really put myself in a position where I can see how people wouldn't like him. You know what I mean? Like I don't understand that. But
yeah, I agree. He's very complex. He has. I think the key for him is he has great moments that he realizes. He has great moments where he's humble. He has bad moments where he kind of condemns himself. And he has bad moments where he's able to shrug it off. Like, he's very dynamic in the kind of reactions that he could have mm-hmm. to different situations. I think on top of all that, he's also can be funny on purpose.
Yeah.
With like stuff in the challenge. And he can also be accidentally funny, or I can't think of the word I'm thinking of, but like Well, like in these situations where he's constantly like he's sandbagging again in this episode where he's like, I didn't want to win, like I lost on purpose. And it's like kind of reminds me of the like just vote me out shit from like the Frame Merge where he's like I'm pulling one over on these people, and he's not at all, but like he really believes it. But then there's other times that he is pulling one over on people, and he's just so much fun to watch. He is really like, if we were to do like a new era, like returnees, no matter what the theme is, I'd try to get him in there. I think
Oh,
he's
yeah. Oh, my God.
so, he's very, very great TV.
Speaking of that, in the challenge, what was he doing? Was he actually falling on purpose? He like sat down for like the whole 15 seconds that they're allowed to get up to the next level.
I think it was probably one of those things where I could probably come in. So there's what, 12 people doing the challenge. He's like, I could probably be like top half, but I'm probably not winning this. So let's just fully sandbag, as in, like, because we've seen that before. And like, especially if you watch like the challenge or something, like the guy who looks the biggest and strongest isn't always the best at everything, especially like some of this more skill-based stuff, like hand-eye coordination, balance, like shit like that. Like you might think Q is a gym rat who doesn't do anything dynamic. And so I think it is sort of believable that he could be bad at this and kind of bad at the type of challenges they do post-merge. I don't know. I think that I don't think he was ever going home. I also don't think it's crazy smart to be losing challenges on purpose at this point,
Because
especially for him.
anything can happen.
I did think this was very interesting. Tim, we haven't talked about too much. We haven't talked about anybody other than Q. But Tim, I think that Tim, I can seriously say that he completely did everything to himself in this. Like he created, first of all, he created an alliance of six to where it was three people that are each going to bring one person in. His decision and who he brought in was, I thought, wrong. The person who he brought in thought the decision was wrong. On top of that, he doesn't actually tell the person that he brought in that they are actually joining this alliance. Someone else tells her. He has no real excuse for why he doesn't do it. And then on top of like all being set up like that, he's trying to have his cake and eat it too. And I think there's a way to play like the options game in Survivor. One is like what he's trying to do is keep all the greens in and keep the six in. Like he wants to get to a point where all the people left in the game are the six in that alliance, and then also Ben and
Maria.
Ben and Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
Maria obviously already in the six.
Oh,
So
yeah.
like that's his ideal like final eight. And then at that point he's super safe for like two votes at least, and it's like he wants to have this perfect scenario. When in reality, I think the way that the game gets shaken up so much these days, when you have options, you really need to just be like, okay, this just means that I could keep the sides even. And like when I need to, like tonight, Ben was the obvious one to get out because the greens are at, they're in trouble no matter what on that tribe. So the thing to do is to just nice and easy, like, yeah, I've always been loyal to the six since we made it. Like, Ben, sorry about it. Like, it sucks, but the right move for him totally would have been to cut Ben, I thought.
Oh yeah, totally. And he went the complete opposite direction. And to be honest, I think the best move for the six and for purple, which are kind of one and the same, was to vote Tim out. Like, I think this was the right move because
I
he is
agree.
way more of a liability trying to play both sides than he is an asset to that six.
Yeah, and like Tiffany said she wants Ben out. She thinks that he's a better player than Tim. I agree that Ben is the better player, but I also don't think that he's a good enough player to where you have to get him out in this spot. I think that getting rid of Tim was addition by subtraction. I
For
think
sure.
that if it was up to Q and Hunter, if he said, hey, you could re-roll, and it could be somebody else from the Green Tribe that you could have made your 5 and 6 in this alliance, I think they would take that. Because Tim was a pretty unreliable ally through all this. And yeah, I agree. I think that getting rid of Tim was definitely the right move. And it's not a hard sell to Tevin either, because it was like, Tim was not only was he not like reluctantly going for Hunter because he wanted to keep Ben in, he was aggressively going after Hunter harder than anyone else on the beach was.
Yeah, exactly. So like, he's, yeah, not only trying to play both sides, but also be detrimental to the sixth.
Right.
So yeah. I don't know. I think Tim, as far as his like character arc goes, I think he was funnier than the edit let him on to be, and I think he was a better player than the edit let him on to be. I'm not saying he was like good or anything, but I don't know, like, he had some funny clips as well, like him and Q going back and forth at the challenge, and his outro or his like confessional after he got voted out was pretty funny, saying he was the sexiest dad to ever get voted out. Like, I think I feel like he was pretty boring as a character, but I don't think the edit did him justice. I think they probably cut some stuff that was funnier or cut some stuff that was more interesting about Tim and just being a boot like in this twist episode was just the edit that he was dealt.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is a good way to describe it, is he was definitely a boring character, but I don't think it's because he's a boring person. I thought he was edited that way, like not purposely edited to be boring, but just in what they showed, it was few and far between enough to where, you know, you couldn't really gain footing as a Tim fan, I feel like.
Right. Yeah. How many Tim fans out there? Raise right. your hand.
I guess the one person we didn't really talk about too much on this tribe is Hunter. I don't think he didn't have a lot of options. He did all the right stuff. Like, he's aligned with Q and Tiffany, and he was the only orange on that group. The purples, obviously, purples plus him was going to be a majority. Q and Tiffany and probably Kenzie, like, all expect him to come with them. He did go with them. Not much to say about Hunter in this one, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think he made, yeah, like you said, he made all the right decisions. I thought he was really good at defending himself in tribal. I think that's the one note I had for him. I thought he performed really well there.
Yeah, I think he's really good at seeing like the best thing to do and really sticking to it, where I think, you know, like I said, the purples had half the people anyway. Purples plus him is a clear majority. He's supposed to be working with those people. So he just really hammered home, like, I'm with these people. Like, he didn't even entertain for a second, like, maybe the Greens, like, a split or something like that, or maybe trying to bring, like, a purple over to the Green side with himself. Like, there was never any of that. He was like, I think my best move is to just stick with the purples. I'm going to fucking beat the shit out of this horse until it's dead, and I'm going to keep beating it.
Yep.
And I feel like it was a solid strategy for where he was at tonight.
Yep, I agree. And then I was going to run down the rankings for the people in that tribal council.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
We had basically Kenzie and Tiffany both tied for first. This is new. I still had Tiffany Kenzie, and you probably had Kenzie Tiffany.
That's what I had, yep.
Yeah, I think Kenzie had a really good week. I almost put her number one as well. Just socially, she's just so, like, she's so likable, and she's so easy to get people to, like, share conversations with her that she's definitely dangerous strategy-wise.
Yeah, that's part of a larger deal that I was going to – I told you, like, my rankings are very structured this week, and like, I feel like maybe at the end I'll go through them, because I have like a quick like 2-minute explanation on them, but I'm like, they're going to be pretty rigid the rest of the season, because I feel like I have a lot of people pegged.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely coming into focus for sure. We had Hunter at 4. He kind of like held where he was. I think it was 3 last week, kind of in that same general area.
He was tied for second. Yeah.
Yep. And then we had Q all the way down at 7, just for visibility purposes. Like, a player like Q rarely wins the game. And I think his time is coming here. He's just too big of a target, right? He's too loud. He's too good. Mm-hmm. You just have to be good and be quiet. Ben at 9, not because he's a bad player. I feel like he just has no footing or any real like allies, especially with Tim getting voted out. And then obviously Tim was voted out. So
yeah, Ben feels like we always get a handful of these every season where it's he is the decoy very often. And yeah. It's like you lose agency a lot by doing that. It's like the block star, right, in Big
yeah.
Brother.
Yeah.
Which term coined by Rockstar being a block star, but also just the general idea of it, right, is like obviously you're not a very important player if everyone is fine with you always being on the block, right?
Yeah, he's just the pawn, like right. he's the perpetual pawn, which isn't a term used in Survivor very often, or like that's not like a Survivor term, that's a Big Brother term, but
right. Okay, our other group. We had 4 oranges in this group: Soda, Liz, Tevin, and Venus. We had 2 greens: Charlie, Maria. Maria is gonna win not only the challenge for this side, but she is the last one standing. I was not expecting Maria in this challenge. That was a really good job. She also wins the reward for this group, which also same thing as last season. Tim is not on the jury. And Soda is, just because of this little twist with her winning the challenge.
Yeah.
Also, real quick, Jelinski got a several minutes shout out.
He did.
I always wonder, like,
Jelinski was everywhere.
That was always a thing that annoyed me about Survivor, was I feel like they never referenced players that were voted out formerly until like the torch walk at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I, even though I feel like a lot of people, like, deciding that, like, X person is going to get voted out, like, that's a big motivating factor for, like, the split between, like, 2 players or, like, 2 other players coming together or something like that. And I feel like they don't use it quite as much to inform. So,
like, I him bringing up. They talk about, like, players who've been voted out on the island just, like, in casually, like, all the time. Like,
right.
I'm sure that's half the conversations is about people who've been voted out.
Yeah. So, I mean, we said last week that what are the situations that Venus could stick around in? And this wasn't really one of them, but I think it also, we've had Soda pegged as a potential person to go home for a while. And I think that if Venus is just with Soda and Tevin is not there, or if it's...
And this is Tevin's doing.
Right, or if she's just there with Tevin and Soda's on the other group, like, I think there's a lot of situations where Venus is the one to go home. But I think the fact that Tevin has really been waiting to make this move, and it's kind of the only thing we saw from Liz all season, was a few episodes ago when Tevin first pitches this to Hunter, and he's like, yeah, I'm starting to think Soda's dangerous. And Hunter's like, perfect. I want Tevin to be my number one. I don't want to share him with Soda.
Yeah.
They also mention it to Liz, and she at the time is all over it. She's still all over it. She thinks that Soda is like the most dangerous player of this cast, which I agree she is pretty dangerous. Mm-hmm. I don't think she is close to the best player, but
well, that's Liz's, that's Liz's perception for you.
Right, but I also feel like this was our check-in on Liz. We haven't heard too much from her. She doesn't get any confessionals. But I feel like I maybe am starting to figure out, like, with these under-edited people, they always have one or two relationships that are some of the, like, make-or-break alliances that you don't see that are, like, some of the bigger question marks of the season. I think I figured Liz out. Liz is Hunter and Tevin's like carry on.
Yeah.
That we're not going to see it ever. But I remember Hunter and Liz were at the Orange Tribe once. This was after he already found the idol, but he was like fucking around a camp or something like that. And he was pretending to look for the idol at camp in front of Liz, and he's like, I don't care if you see it, I find it. Mm-hmm. And then we've seen Tevin speak very honestly to Liz, and she's usually just very agreeable immediately. I think she's just their tag along, pretty much.
Yeah, and I've made it very clear that I don't really like Liz. I don't think she's very good. I don't think she's very interesting either. And she,
the triple threat.
Yeah. And people have said the same thing online, and she's come at them. So where's that fire in the game, Liz?
That tweet I sent you of her, that was funny.
That was funny.
Where somebody was like, why don't they embrace Liz's LGBT storyline? Like she wears it on her face with her glasses. She's like, I'm not gay, I just like rainbows. And she was like, and money. Because they were like, all they show is they're talking about money. Yeah. She's like, I like money.
Yeah. Don't we all? We're all there. That's something I can agree with you there, Liz. Yeah, I don't remember what your original question to me was, but yeah, I think that is Liz's position in the rest of the game. Just like a silent number, and she'll go home. I don't see her going home anytime soon, to be honest.
No, I kind of feel like she is a finale person.
I got to deal with her that long, I guess.
Yeah, you do. But yeah, in the end, there's a lot of different things going on because Charlie is the obvious boot, right? He is. Maria's safe. So Charlie, if they want to stick with the orange strong, Charlie is the vote. So he has a little – he's like cautiously optimistic because he kind of realizes what's going on. Then there's this very paradoxical thing that's going on with Soda and Venus where – Soda and Venus are going for each other. They both think they have Tevin and Liz to get the other one out. And so the entire like afternoon and tribal too, they're both getting sold a bill of goods by Tevin and Liz. And the idea is like they're essentially helping themselves get voted out because like Soda is playing into this whole like Tevin and Liz being like kumbaya orange, like there's no way an orange is going home, right? Nudge, nudge.
Right.
Meanwhile, she thinks it's because they're getting rid of Venus, but they're actually getting rid of her. And yeah. She's almost like helping them get rid of her.
Right. Yeah. And this orange is going to be, I think, interesting moving forward. And seeing how if they continue to be like, if they continue to break apart or if there's some cohesiveness here, it seems like, I mean, no one really wants to work with Venus at all, but that's a reason to keep her, right? Because she has no agency. You get to, it's like a bell curve. At some point, you have so little agency that people want to work with you because, or at least use you, you know? And I'll be interested to see if, like, Tevin realizes that or thinks that's a good idea. And that actually may gel them together a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think
the answer to that is kind of the point that I just made, which is there's four of them left in the game. And I think Liz is probably with the two guys. So like three of them are definitely cohesive.
Right.
Venus has never really been much part of anything in the game. So it's a very even split right now. Honestly, there's four oranges. There's three greens. There's three purples. The purples caught all the way up already, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not crazy because I think they're all good players.
I'm looking forward to my done chain here, and I don't really know who's going to go specifically next. Like, if I was trying to, like, snipe somebody, I'm not, mm-hmm. like, entirely certain of a pick next.
Yeah.
Because this is one of the this is the first vote where the post-merge, it's the entire, everyone can vote for everyone. Everyone's vulnerable except the person who has immunity.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think this the next one is like real Survivor again.
Yeah.
Like I think there was we're done with all the with some of the gimmicky stuff. I always am really relieved when we're done with stuff like this.
Me too.
And I actually think I like if you're gonna do the double, I think I said this last season, I prefer it at 12 and 11 rather than 10 and 9.
Oh, for sure.
Because some of those very big tribe votes also get a little consensus-y. Because people are trying to like find their footing or whatever, and then there's like the double, and then it feels like you go right from find your footing to the end game. And I feel like this is better, a like slower progression of like, this is almost like this and the Mergatory is almost like gray area between tribe phase and the merge. And it's, I think it's good, or it works when you do a kind of early merge where like you bring everyone together at the final 13 with only an 18 person season. So yeah, you've only voted five people out and you're already merging. Like in a 20 person season, you wouldn't merge at 15, right?
Right.
So I think it's a good kind of like gray area tribe phase ish kind of deal. But like now we're going to actually play Survivor.
Yeah. I mean, we used to do before they did all this, we used to do like a whole segment on the when the merge is coming up, like trying to predict who the merge boot was going to be. That's in today's Survivor, that's this next boot.
Right. Yeah. You can't even do that because like half the people are safe and everything. This is like, I think, the real tone setter.
Yeah.
Like sure. Some seasons it's the double. If you can get like a big swing where like two people from the same alliance go home, or, you know, typically it's one crazy boot and one kind of straightforward boot. But yeah, I think this one, like we got, I would say, moderate swings where kind of the most shocking realistic thing happened at both tribal councils. And now I think, for as much as we've said the season lacks really good gameplay, I think most of the best players are left.
Right.
Still.
Like no one, and I don't think anyone, to be honest, this entire season, I don't really think anyone outlasted or went home before their potential.
Yeah, other than Randon, which was not his fault.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like, everyone left is the best out of mostly the best players in the game. Like, no one went home early. No one's really, like, lingering. You could kind of make an argument for Venus, maybe, but I don't know. I kind of think that, like, she would deserve to be in this group. I could make a case for her.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Couple extra things here. Oh yeah, rankings for that group. Charlie is third. We didn't talk about him a ton. I feel like he had, this has kind of been his MO, is like he has the good read always. And then he is kind of like Tiffany and Kenzie. Like he's kind of efficient. He, like, when somebody else is going to do the work for him, he's going to just let it happen. And that was like Venus and Soda beefing. I also like that he never committed ever to Venus, and it still like was always going to work. So it's not even a dumb decision.
Yeah. He's very, it's interesting because he does let everyone else do the work for him. Like he'll be in a bad spot. Like this is not a good spot for him. Like they were talking, like Venus was saying originally, like Charlie's the obvious vote here. He was able to read the situation, understand that what people were telling him were the truth, who he wanted to work with, he had good conversations with, and said, I'm probably pretty safe tonight. I'm going to play into whatever they want me to do, and just had the right read with it and let everyone else go to bat for him and do the strategy for him because everyone else wanted to work in his interest because they want to work for him or with him, you know? So,
I thought that the Mergatory was the biggest thing, and like that's the difference between what I feel like is inaction on the part of someone like Tim and Charlie being what I have been calling efficient, is like the Mergatory, you clearly saw that like Venus being kind of very aggressive and a little chaotic, that's not an act to try to get Charlie to not play a shot in the dark, right?
Right.
And Venus versus Soda, That's not a fake fight that they concocted. That's been a real thing. And so I think he did a good job of gathering information last week, and it paid off for him this week.
Yeah.
Maria and Tevin were tied for fifth. These two very different people. I'll say Maria first. I think was kind of similar to Charlie, even more so, like, because she did have immunity. And so it was kind of like, she's safe. She doesn't need to scramble for herself. And so the only person that she really needs to be fighting for is Charlie, and he doesn't even really need to be fought for because Venus and Soto were going to just do it themselves.
Right.
So kind of just a whole lot of nothing from Maria this week, other than props for winning the challenge.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like her and Charlie stayed pretty pretty even from last week.
Yeah. Tevin is one that's interesting that we, like we said, this was his doing, but we haven't really talked about him other than that. This is probably the one that we're the furthest away on. I have him at 4. You have him at 7. I think I can kind of guess why, but what's your pitch for having Tevin a little lower this week?
Just because I feel like he's not in the 6, right? Or is he?
He is in the 6.
He is in the 6.
But it's falling apart.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like there's too many people competing against him for the same power that he has or wants. And like whenever he goes up against someone, I don't know that his allies or he'll have, I don't know if the majority of people will want to work with him over someone else. That's what I'm concerned with Tevin. And he has been running the Orange Tribe, which is dysfunctional, but it may be a little more cohesive now. And pulling the strings for the votes. And the thing is, people know that. Like, it's not a secret that he's, like, making any of these moves. And this is about the time where people say, we need to start making big moves. We can't just vote the easy people out. And the people who are easy to vote out say, that sounds good to me. I just don't see his allies sticking with him, I guess, would be my main point.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. And like I said, I think the 6 is crumbling. Tim is gone. Maria is probably going to splinter off. Tiffany's closer with Kenzie anyway. And like her bridge to that is Q, who I think is probably going to go home soon. So I think he's kind of back to square one where it's like, it's him and Hunter. It's always been him and Hunter. And I agree with you that it's a problem because in truth, he has one like real tight ally in a group of 10 where a lot of people are seeing him, like his perceived agency, I think is maybe a little higher than it actually is.
Yeah, I would agree.
So it's going to be tough for him to not get targeted and also like grab any kind of power. I think so. I do agree with it, but like I said, I've developed new rules for myself for rankings.
Yes, which 7's probably a little low as well. So he balanced out.
Yeah. Liz, I feel like we talked about Liz as much as we need to. We like figured out one big thing about her. I worked for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then Venus, who I also feel like we talked a lot about. I agree that I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't go home next week. I think she is the target so big that it's invisible.
Yeah.
And she's just going to hang around and she's going to keep stirring things up and complaining about that no one wants to work with her. Meanwhile, you know, she has not the best approach. I didn't really love the way Maria talked to her of like, you just really came at me and you're like, I think that could be your opinion, but I think like telling someone that and kind of condemning them for their own like play style, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. Cause
it was a real mom approach.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, like that. And as the confessional was going, seeing the lower third, like parent coach, I was like, oh, this lady tells other people how to parent. Like if you, and all the while Venus is like, Maria is definitely someone who is used to being like the shot caller and she doesn't want to listen to someone who she thinks is her junior, which I think is a excellent read of the situation. The problem is it's not a read that you can do anything useful with.
Yeah, it's just like that's what happened, basically.
Right. It's like, good job for seeing the board well.
Yeah, I think she goes home like sixth or something. She stays around for a little bit at least.
Yeah. I did want to mention one quick confessional stat. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this to you the other night or last night after the episode. We've kind of been all over the place with, you know, people like vote out still being high up in like confessional like counter and everything. Just because, you know, the purples went to tribal so much. So there's a lot of under-edited people on these other tribes and a lot of people were having huge boot weeks. But then like this week, Soda had two confessionals. Tim only had one and in their boot weeks. So I feel like things got really solidified here. I think a fun fact is there's 10 people left in the game. 8 of them are in the top 9 for confessionals. Mm-hmm. So Liz is 16th right now, like she was last week. Maria is 13th, which is also a little shocking. But then the rest of the cast is all kind of bunched up together. Like the purples, it still skews like they are the higher numbers. Yeah. But everybody else is more bunched together. And then Banu's still 4th, which is nuts. He's been out of the game for 3 episodes. Next week, he will have only been in half the episodes and he'll still probably be 5th. Unless Venus absolutely pops off again, then maybe he'll be 6th.
Yeah.
So nice. But yeah, real quick with my rankings, I just wanted to say, so this is my logic here. So I had, let me grab it real quick. I had Kenzie, Tiffany, Charlie, Tevin, Hunter, Maria, Liz, Q, Ben, Venus. So basically my thought is, I think Kenzie and Tiffany are like, I'm starting to think they're the only two people that can win the game. I feel like they both have a lot of the visibility. They're making all the right moves. I think Kenzie is getting a little bit more of the winnery type stuff.
Yeah,
where Tiffany is just getting like very good player things. Mm-hmm. But Kenzie is getting like the winnery, like, oh, like this, like my journey has been like, we sucked the beginning. Now I'm feeling like I'm finding fun. Like she's gaining traction
right
for the home stretch. I'm feeling that right now. Charlie is 3rd because I think that he definitely has like the talent and the agency and like all that to go deep in the game. But I just don't see him being a winner. I've been pretty confident for a while he's going to be the runner up. So I think he stays in that mix for a while. Tevin and Hunter are kind of their own sub tier of like my dark horses to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I might trust Tevin to win a little more than Hunter just because I think Hunter is a more obvious threat.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are already talking about him as being like the premier physical threat. Q is not having it, but mm-hmm. I think everybody else is thinking that it's Hunter. Tevin, I think he has a persuasion ability that is really second to none. If he can get there, I don't know if he can actually get there.
Right.
I would agree. Then I said Maria is our line. And so Maria at 6 for me, it's kind of like anyone above Maria can win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have this kind of like safety tier, which is kind of bookended by Maria, who is like has a lot of agency, but not a lot of confessionals. Story's not really told from her point of view. So I do think she belongs in this tier, although at the top of it. Liz, I think, belongs to the bottom of it, where she also is like incredibly safe. But what is she like? What is her upside really?
Yeah.
And so I think people could sneak in between them, but I think that's always going to be like a tier.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bottom is like the vulnerable people. So I think I have Q 8th. I think there's a really decent shot he goes home next week. He's very out in front right now. It's become very apparent that he's running the show. And I think for anybody who is like, things aren't quite going how I want, I think getting rid of the kingpin, it's never a bad idea if other people want to do it.
Yeah.
Ben, I feel like is kind of like, he's a mix of Maria and Liz, where he seems to have agency, but he's not really doing anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that like he's always getting votes. Like people are noticing the targetable things about Ben, and I feel like they're not realizing the things that kind of make you see like, it doesn't, like, we can let Ben hang around. It doesn't matter.
Right.
That being said, I do think he can hang around, mm-hmm. just because I think some big people are about to go. And then Venus last, obviously. I mean, I love her as a character, but she's not a good player.
Yeah. Nice.
So there it goes. So my rankings aren't going to be much of a surprise the rest of the time.
Yeah. Nice.
But yeah, there's my little rant there. Other quick little things. Fantasy Survivor. Do you even want to know?
Yeah.
Two more people. Gollum, Soden, Tim, both yours.
Mm-hmm.
It is now 1,353 to 857. So mm-hmm. I got about a 500-pointer lead here. Mm-hmm. But a very interesting thing here. There's only one active dungeon in the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a great one with Soda, you had a great one with Tim.
Mm-hmm. Do we both have Venus, or do you just have Venus? Or do I just have Venus, I mean?
You just have Venus. We both did Banu. I've only had to do two. So mine were Banu and Soda.
And they're both gone. Good job.
And they're both gone. So the only active one is Venus. So if you want to do
two dungeons. And to be honest, I'm glad it was both people. I'm not glad, but I only have to give out how many more after this? One?
Three at most.
Three at most.
You have Liz, Hunter, and Venus.
Right. Okay. All right.
So they all go before the finale.
Which they may.
Yeah.
It may just be all your people in the finale.
Liz might be your last player standing.
She may. Okay. So I just have Venus done. I think I might take some swings here.
Okay.
I think I might toss a dungeon on Q.
Q, okay.
I don't think he can win from this point. That's the point of the game.
There you go, yeah.
I just think we talked him to death today. I just think he's too visible and too aggressive, and he's going to have too many people who don't want to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he's not going to be, if he by some miracle makes it to the end, I don't think he's going to be very, he's not, the jury isn't going to be sympathetic towards him, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Not very receptive.
Receptive, there you go. He may make great points, but I don't think he does it in a way that this jury will appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said, he is very vulnerable next week, I would say.
I agree.
Okay, so that is the one that I was thinking immediately. The second one, I think, is actually a little harder.
You got some choices, though.
I do have some choices.
Like, you only have to do three, so you could actually play it really safe if you wanted to. I was kind of surprised you went for Q.
Yeah, I just am pretty confident he's not a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm pretty confident he's not a winner, he's the type of person who goes home somewhere around now.
No, I totally agree with the logic. I'm just saying.
I think my other one might go safe. I think the other one I'm gonna take Ben.
Okay, I thought you were gonna go Ben and Liz.
See, so. I don't want to do Liz yet either because I feel like she is pretty safe and well insulated, and I do have people left who could go soon. Like, Venus could go soon. I guess I just have Venus, and Hunter would be the other one. So I guess Venus could go soon, and then I could toss one on Liz once Venus goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think Liz goes before Venus. So
yep.
That's kind of my logic there. I'll stick Liz up for a couple weeks. Ben could go, like, whenever, and that's why I kind of want to get it on him now, just when I have an opportunity. Because I don't know when he's going to go, but I don't think he's a finale member either.
Yeah. I do think there's one interesting stat. Both Q and Ben today are the first people on my team to receive a dungeon chain the entire season.
Really?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah, because it's been just Soda, Tim, Randon, you did before the medevac. That was a crazy pull, actually.
Yeah.
Venus and Banu.
Jess is the only one on your team that went home.
Right. I think we both...
Or no, Jem went home as well. Sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't have her mark.
Yeah, I think just... So before Jess went, it was just Jelinski who went home, which was yours. And I guess, did you... I think that's when you did Randon, actually. You did Randon on the first boot? I think you did.
I think he was my first.
He was your first. Never forget your first.
I never do.
Might have. Okay. Real quick, last thing before we wrap up. I did want to revisit these predictions that I made a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Did you realize how kind of on fire I am?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've been keeping track.
So, so Soda goes home in the double. I picked her as Mergatory. So
two
that's
sodas.
One episode.
Two sodas.
That's
would.
One episode. Yeah. Mariah, I picked to go in the double. She went home Mergatory, so that's also one off. I picked Tim to go go the final nine. He goes to the double, so I'm two off with that. And then Venus, like really the only person that I have left that I thought would be gone by now is Venus,
right.
Which I kind of agree with your take that she'll just hang around and she'll go like kind of mid-merge. Like I think I'll be pretty wrong about Venus's final position. Mm-hmm. I think she'll be like seventh place,
yeah.
Maybe. And the other exciting thing for me though is that I'd queue 10th, and I really think that that could happen either this week or next. And the fact that I'd Tim 9th and I've kind of surrendered like the Venus thing is going to be wrong. Mm-hmm. I kind of have 2 weeks for Q to go.
Yeah.
And then I could be like very on track.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm very excited with what I've cooked up here.
If I snipe Q this week, I'll be excited about that, but I would hate to see him go.
Yeah, I'd be sad about that. I do really enjoy Q. I mean, we spend literally like 30 minutes talking about him. He's the best.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think we really covered it all. Do you have anything else?
No.
All right, well, neither do I. So we'll say thank you all so much for listening to a little bit longer of an episode, and we'll see you all next time.